Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I'm joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We got fun stuff lined up for you over the next hour. We're going to wrap up 2024 with you, and we're going to have some fun doing it.
We will.
We got a good one lined up for you a little bit later. We'll get into one, an interesting one about odd stories. The odd 2024, the 10 oddest Guinness World Records of the year.
And, of course, we have to cover that.
Yeah. And as a little side note, I want to see how many we did cover. You know, I
we think probably we got a couple in there.
I got to think. Yeah. We kick off the hour, though, with some entertainment news. And I think a lot of people kind of might have seen something like this coming. Were you locked out of the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight because Netflix was completely unprepared to handle the amount of streaming that they expected or that they had?
Mm-hmm.
Well, luckily you didn't miss a darn thing. But you didn't know that while you were sitting there for hours watching the frozen black screen. Now, a lot of people went through this. I didn't even bother with the fight or anything like that, so I wouldn't have been through that. But a lot of people that my buddy Will was going through that. He was texting me, asking me, "Hey, do you got the black screen too?" I'm like, "Man, I'm not even watching it." which ended up being a debate between the two of us too. But he's like, "You're gonna miss a pop culture moment and all this and everything." I didn't miss nothing, man.
You missed a black screen.
Yeah. Well, so there's something you can do about it. A Florida man named Ronald Blue Denton, and God, I love Florida. has filed a class action lawsuit calling Netflix's failure legendary. He's suing for breach of contract and other offenses seeking unspecified damages. Quick side note, what are the other offenses?
Can we read the whole complaint?
I really would. Netflix has acknowledged that some members had a bad experience, but they still consider the event a huge success. They now claim 108 million people watched the so-called fight.
Well, that number keeps growing.
This is something that is going to end up changing more sooner than later. Netflix, nobody more guilty of this than Netflix. Hey, 108 people watched that fight. Oh, yeah? Where's your data? Where's your proof?
Well, you can't see that. It's proprietary. You can't see that.
With the success of Wicked, I will just lean into the take no look behind the man at the behind, man behind the curtain. You know, that's what they're asking you to do here.
Yep.
And advertisers keep falling for it. You know, so it's working for them. Mm-hmm. You know, now chickens come home to roost. A year from now, we'll see how Netflix is doing. But with the deal with the NFL and that was successful. Mm-hmm. Like there was, I watched quite a bit of that, and there was maybe one hiccup. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it went smooth. And I giving credit where it's due, the camera angles and the production value, second to none. It was incredible. Like, you could see them. They put the money into it. They took some time into it. And they learned from the Jake Paul fight and the Tyson fight how to do this better. Now, maybe that means going forward they're going to do that. I don't know. But I also think this was a one-off. Like, I'm not saying that Netflix won't have more NFL games or anything like that. But they knew all eyes were on them. They knew the pressure was on. And they put the money and time into it. You got to do that every Sunday.
I can't imagine how much it cost them to put that together.
Yeah.
And that for one, you know, I mean, I know it's a couple of games, but for one day of NFL football, that was it.
For this to be successful for them, that's going to be difficult.
Yes, extremely difficult.
When it was tough for it is tough for Fox to pull this off. Like a college football Saturdays or their NFL games that they cover and everything, even they have a hard time, and they're the fourth major network in the world. And they have a tough time with this. CBS, NBC, these companies, they're able to do this because they have other resources to tap into.
Right.
They have other people that they can use for other things, so they can pull them from that to go over here. Hey, Strahan, I need you here. You know, and those kind of things. Netflix doesn't have any of that to go on. So they
had to build it from the ground up.
I'm curious to see where that goes. You know, and how that happens, and certainly where this court case will end up and everything.
It's to the point where now that the NFL is on everything, literally, like every streaming. I mean, I know it's not, but it seems that way. I'm just curious to where this is going and how, what the bridge too far is going to be. Because at some point, they're gonna cross that and people are going to be like, enough!
Yep.
Enough!
Yes, yes. Well, and I genuinely think that eventually, whether it's sooner than later or not, I don't know, we're going to get back to basically the cable model. Yeah, we're going to go back to that. We already are getting there, closer and closer to everything. Mm-hmm. Hey, I only want this and this. And, you know, and you pick and choose.
Yeah,
and
a la carte kind of thing. Yeah,
And these next two stories are tied together, I believe. So this may not feel like an entertainment story, but talking about New Year's, and how would you like your New Year's? How is yours going to be? Is it going to be really loud? Or is it going to be kind of quiet and mellow and just relaxed? If you're planning on ringing in the New Year quietly at home, you're not alone. A majority of U.S. adults intend to celebrate New Year's Eve at home, according to a new poll from the Associated Press. Quote, as I've gotten older over the last few years, it's like if I don't make it to midnight, not a big deal. Says Carla Woods from Vinton, Iowa. Nearly 2 in 10 will be celebrating at a friend or family member's house, and just 5% plan on going out.
Only 5? Wow.
But many U.S. adults will celebrate the New Year in a different way by making a resolution. So there's that, too.
Okay.
But that's something that they're also talking about is where... people are like, to your point before about finding like a buddy or whatever, or somebody who is also have a resolution. Mm-hmm. They're having resolution parties.
Oh, that a lot that's of people interesting. Are doing that. Yeah,
that's a fun idea.
Yeah.
I get a better idea. Not only is it a resolution party, it's random.
Random.
So you like put all the resolutions. You put all the resolutions in a hat.
Great, man, is that great?
And then you pick one out.
Sounds familiar to something else. I can't think of what else.
There you go.
That's a good one. There's some optimism. Hilarious.
Quit smoking, but I don't smoke.
Well, that's easy.
I've solved it. Yeah, check. Done.
There's a win. There's some optimism about the year ahead, although more than half aren't expecting a positive change. About 4 in 10 say 2025 will be a better year for them personally, but about 1 in 3rd don't expect much difference. There's that, and we're actually going to get into a little bit of that on Thursday about people and the way they're looking at 2025 and why they are looking at it that way.
Okay,
but for now, focusing on how many people are going out, how many people are staying in, and a lot more people are choosing to stay in this year, and that's been the case even going before the pandemic. This is not one you can necessarily point to COVID and blame. And to that point, there is a lot of stuff on your small screen.
Mm.
So if you are staying home and you want something on in the background or you want something to watch, well, I got all the list here for you. A Toast to 2024 will be on NBC starting at 8 o'clock Eastern Time.
Okay.
That one. The special will air live. Hosts the Today Show, Hoda Kubo and Jenna Bush. Hager will ring in the new year as their primetime hosts.
Okay.
This year, Coda's final time, it'll be her final time celebrating and doing the Today Show. So she's leaving the show.
That's right. She's retiring. Yeah.
Several celebrity appearances are in store, including Reba McEntire and Snoop Dogg and George Lopez. It's interesting.
Covered all our bases there.
I guarantee you that is not the only thing Snoop is showing up at. I don't know that for a fact, but I feel pretty confident on that one. Also on NBC, the day drinking with Seth Meyers New Year's special. It'll be at 11:30 on NBC. Special will air live. Seth Meyers will ring in the new year by looking back on his numerous day drinking segments. Dua Lipa, Kelly Clarkson, Kevin Hart, Rihanna.
Wow.
All going to be there.
Cool.
Of course, the granddaddy of them all, Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve, will be at 7 o'clock on ABC.
Oh, okay.
It'll be on ABC. The next day, streaming on Hulu, if you're curious. Ryan Seacrest will host once again, leading the celebration, marking his 20th anniversary as host. Holy.
He's been doing this for 20 years?
Whoa.
I didn't know that. Wow.
That took me back.
Holy cow.
I didn't realize that.
Okay, this is one.
It feels like he just took over.
It does. It really does. Because I know he was co-hosting with Dick for a couple of years before Dick passed away. But, okay, this is one of those examples that I wish we had what they have in Futurama, the celebrities' heads in jars.
Yes.
So we could bring Dick Clark back for this.
Absolutely. He was the best. It's the only one I ever watched was the Dick Clark special. Mm-hmm. The only one I watched. And it was just for Dick Clark.
Yep.
One of the best voices and one of the greatest MCs ever. If it wasn't for Bob Hope, I may say he is the best MC I ever saw.
Man.
As a side note, the Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors during the Y2K episode, Dick Clark voice guested, and the Y2K actually happens, and Dick Clark just starts melting. He's like, "Oh no, the old witch was right," and it's like, and it's actually Dick Clark making fun of his looks and everything.
How he kept his looks for so long. Yeah, right.
And just so self-aware.
That's so awesome. Yes.
Going to have a lot of performances as a part of the Dick Clark special, as you'd imagine. Plus, they're going to be going all over the world. They'll be in Puerto Rico and some other spots they'll be tuning in, checking into.
Of course.
Many perform Natasha Bedingfield, TLC, Kesha, Hardy, DJ Cassidy, T-Pain, Cody Johnson, Thomas Rhett, Teddy Swims, and Lenny Kravitz.
Wow. I got one name there that I recognized.
You didn't recognize TLC? Come on.
Oh, okay. I did. Yeah, I got that
one. I don't know if Teddy Swims and Lenny Kravitz are performing together, but they should. That would be amazing. If you haven't heard Teddy Swims, man, that's a good one. Carrie Underwood will headline the night with some of her own guests.
Wow.
The Jonas Brothers are going to be there as well. It'll all take place, of course, at Times Square.
Of course.
And Times Square stage melody performance to commemorate the 20th anniversary as a group as well, the Jonas Brothers. Will be doing that.
Oh my gosh.
So,
it doesn't make us feel old.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take a quick call. Good morning. wait a minute.
But wait, my extended warranty.
Yeah,
I need to know about that.
Mel, we'll take it off air. We'll take it off
air. Okay, because I'm very concerned. It's very important to me.
I want to start 2025 right. The New Year's Eve Live with Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen will be at 7 on CNN. This has become more and more popular over the years.
Interesting.
The special will stream live on CNN as well as on Max for subscribers there. Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen have a lot of fun with this one, and they're returning to Times Square this time, and hopefully not getting drunk too fast. Seems to be the problem. Seems to be the problem for that show.
Water it down, guys. Water it down.
Water it down.
But that's part of what makes the show, from what I hear from people and everything. Cooper and Cohen will be joined by several guests throughout the night. 50 Cent, Sting, Megan the Trainer, Shania Twain, Diplo, Little John, and Patti LaBelle.
Mm.
A wild list, right?
Wow, that is a wild list. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's impressive. New Year's Eve Live, Nashville's Big Bash. We were talking about this on the Sunrise Show. That'll start at 7 on CBS. The event airs live on CBS and will be available to stream on Paramount Plus. The special will be hosted by Grammy winner Keith Urban and Entertainment Tonight's Rachel Smith. From the home of Nashville, right in Nashville. Mm. Why the they should be hosting this at the Grand Ole Opry.
They should.
Yeah, they should have tied that.
I don't know why they. Yeah, interesting.
Listen to this list of performers. If you are a country music fan, this is the only place you need to go. Luke Bryant, Eric Church, Luke Combs, Tyler Hubbard, Miranda Lambert, Post Malone, Shaboozy, Brittany Spencer, Chris Stapleton, Zach Top, Lainey Wilson, Keith Urban, Kane Brown, Jelly Roll, and this is all taking place at Bicentennial Park.
Wow.
Like just
they couldn't fit in the Opry. There's too many people. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
That is impressive. And you can just watch the Times Square ball drop in person for those hoping to catch a glimpse. Head on over to New York.
Head to New York. Start now. Get going.
Honestly, I feel like a bit of a nerd for saying this. I would love to do that one day.
Just for
fun. I would love to just see, just while it's still happening, while it's still a thing, whatever, you know, I there's something about it to me. As a kid, this was one of my favorite holidays ever. It was actually up until I became an adult. That's what it changed for me.
All right.
It just became kind of like, it's still a cool holiday, but I miss what it meant. Me and my best friend, every New Year's, we hung out. We stayed up late. We got to watch stuff we didn't normally get to watch. So many things. It was such a more fun. To me, it's almost the opposite of Halloween. Like, I feel like I enjoy Halloween more as an adult, and I didn't really appreciate it, or I just didn't get to enjoy it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas New Year's Eve, I loved it more as a kid. And now it's kind of like, it's cool, but there's so much more significance to me about it as far as the changing of the year and so many of these other things. What does it mean to you as an adult out there? Does it still have a lot of fanfare? Does it still mean something to you?
Man, I had a job at a convention center in Duluth for many years, and there was a gigantic New Year's Eve party they had. The local hospital was one of their big fundraisers, and they, like, the whole place the whole, I mean, all of the arena, the all the big rooms, the conference rooms, everything was used for this thing. So this was like the one of our biggest events every year. So I was there from like 3 o'clock in the afternoon till like 3 o'clock in the morning after we, you know, clean everything up.
Wow.
So I did that for like 4 or 5 years in a row. So that kind of New Year's kind of lost some magic for me.
Yeah.
On that, because I'm always just, you know, just beat at the end of it. You're so tired. I mean, it was fun experience. It was good to do, but man, whew, what a night.
Mm. Yeah, I would say that as an adult, it's a lot more reflective for me going into the new year. I mean, and being the anniversary of my brother's birthday is also a little rough because I miss him a lot.
Yep.
And having his birthday on New Year's Day. I don't know. This time of year is hard.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. I mean, my mom's birthday is in December. My brother's in January 1st. It just, it's a lot more, as an adult, reflective. I don't honestly remember being a lot of hoopla around New Year's as a kid. Because we never, like, watched the ball drop or anything like that.
Right.
We didn't really have TV. So, I don't know. It's just a... We celebrated birthdays.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yep.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
I might make 10 o'clock.
There's the honest answer.
Perfect answer.
Love it. Yes, love it.
Yes.
We might hit one of the couple of the bars and down here that do the early bird New Year's.
Nice.
Smart.
Very smart.
Smart move by the bars. Yes.
I love this idea.
I did that stuff when I was younger. I bartended. I hated New Year's. I always tried to get out of it, but you know how it is. You got to have everybody at the end. During New Year's, if you're in the restaurant or bar industry, because, you know, you got to make sure everybody gets those drinks and everything. Yeah, but I mean, when the kids were younger, it was kind of nice to see if they could try to make it. So,
yes.
You know, and like I said, it's just another day to me, I guess.
Yeah, I hear you. I will say, though, I do think that if you're able to, if you have kids in your life or something like that, watching little kids trying to stay up till midnight is one of the funnest things
ever.
It's
so much fun. Oh, it is.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. That's a blast. That's worth it, like the price of admission alone. I think so much of what I'm hearing from all of us, what I'm hearing from some of my students and just people in general, is a lot of what we as adults feel. We're just exhausted from this year. And that could be any year. That could be 2022, 2020, whatever. And just
we've made it through the holiday celebrations.
Yeah, that's right.
And to something Melissa was touching on before that I can empathize with and relate to too, about being realistic and looking at the next year and with that realistic brain, that fight or flight, that reptilian brain that we still have, many of us, all of us still have in many ways. We don't have many things in life that do this. I think even the most realistic, even the most cynical, has hope for the next year, whatever that might be, whatever that hope might look like, or just some positive going into the next year. Again, whenever year that might be, 2023, 24, 25. Yeah. I think these are kind of the things that we focus on, we look at, as opposed to maybe trying to stay up late or partying or some of that stuff. Teach their own, you know.
Absolutely.
If you're 45 and you're still going out there like you're 25, I more power to you, I guess. I mean, you know, but this is...
Yeah. I don't know. Kevin's going to make it later than me, Kevin, because 10 o'clock is ambitious for me at this point.
Well, I'm not saying I might make it till 10 o'clock. I didn't say I'm going to make it, you know. I get that. You know, you always look to the positive. You know, you try to look at the positive of what happened throughout the year, you know. And I guess my biggest thing is through the whole year of 2025 is going to probably be the looking forward and help with planning and everything of my older son's wedding coming up in the spring of 26.
Congratulations, that's what, granted
I don't know if I'm gonna like to see the bill at that time, but you know.
right. Kev, my youngest has a wedding coming up in 2025 too, my daughter Isabel.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very good.
So you guys are going to spend the year saving, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And just to piggyback off of that, because I haven't had a chance to bring it up yet today, I'm going to be a papa in 2020. Well, I might be. I guess it could happen
anytime.
Today. Still, could happen anytime.
Anytime.
So, yeah, could still happen. Yeah. See, these are the things. This is what I feel like I find myself doing. Now, I will admit I do this twice a year because of the Jewish New Year and Yom Kippur and everything. But I find, okay, what is there to look forward to in 2025? And I really focus on that. Mm-hmm. Even when my brain gets distracted and I want to focus on this and this negative. Nope. Getting back on what's going to be positive. I want to go in everything I was saying earlier about how you spend your day if you walk around with your fists clenched. I'm going into 2025 with my hands open. I encourage others to do that. What's the harm? What is the negative? What are the side effects may include? What are the side effects? You know, I don't find many.
No.
If any. No. Kev, appreciate the call, brother. Safe travels out there and a happy New Year's to you and yours. Well, maybe I'll talk to you before 10. Maybe.
All right, guys. You guys have a great New Year.
You too.
You too, Kevin. Thank you.
Great call. Great listeners. Yeah. We appreciate
One thing I do want to plug our New Year's show that we've got coming up tonight, as a matter of fact. For those of you who listen on Sunday mornings to Lou Rugani, Music of the Stars, he's got a special New Year's edition starting at 7 o'clock tonight. I think it's going to like 1. So they did it last year, and it was a great response, so we're going to do it again this year. So if you want something a little different, a little nostalgic, going back to the 40s and the 50s and stuff like that, Lou's got you covered.
Shout out to Lou.
Yeah.
Lou's awesome.
Who's been in the business forever.
Oh my God, yeah. If you do want to just watch the New Year, the Times Square ball drop. Wow, I need a break. The New Year's Eve ball is rising to the top of the poll at One Times Square about 6 o'clock today, and it will be released at 11:59, of course. Mm-hmm. You can actually watch it online. I know I will be.
There you go.
TimesSquareNYC.org. TimesSquareNYC.org.
It's got its own website. How about
the
that?
The history of that ball is fascinating to
me. It is.
And the changes that have happened over the years.
If I'm being honest, that's part of why I'm watching it. History of it just happens the whole time to me. I'm a sucker for that. We'll take a time out real quick one. We'll come back, just get into some facts about New Year's.
All right.
And after our news break, we'll get into the oddities. The Guinness World Records broken.
The weird ones.
Yeah.
We're weird. We like ones. Weird.
Yes. Weird. More weird coming up. Right here. Mornings with Weird. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Let's get into some random facts about New Year's Eve.
All right.
I always love these, and this is kind of a tradition on the morning show here with New Year's Eve and some of our holidays, getting into some of these. And the earliest recorded festivities in honor of New Year's arrival date back 4,000 years to ancient Babylon.
Wow.
Remember like it was yesterday. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun back then.
We had a lot of fun back then.
It was a toga party.
A lot more carefree. That's where it all started. A lot more carefree back then, you know? Just didn't feel like we had as many responsibilities.
Kissing more grapes.
Kissing someone at midnight is said to come from the idea that doing so will prevent loneliness during the coming year and ward off evil spirits.
I always got to ward off those evil spirits.
That is, almost every tradition, that is etched in there somewhere, warding off evil spirits. It's somewhere in there.
You know what? I think people just did that on purpose. They wanted to do something and they're like, why should we do that? To ward off evil spirits. Yeah,
it was like you couldn't get people to do things unless you included that. Exactly. I don't know what the modern equivalent is, but that was it, like, you know, do this. I don't know. It'll ward off evil spirits. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Let's do it. Okay. Yeah.
Might as well.
Ancient Romans are credited with the kissing tradition. Shocking. I can say that. Because of Santorellia festival. Mm. It was celebrated in honor of Saturn, the god of time.
That's right. They can get pretty crazy too, from what I've heard. A little crazy. The Romans like their partying, you know.
Yeah. Let's see here. The island nation of Kiribati in the Central Pacific is the first location to ring in the new year each year.
Oh, that's cool.
I like that. That's very nice. Cool.
Yeah, so that's the start of the day.
Yeah, that's right.
America Samoa is second to last place to celebrate the New Year behind Baker and the Howland Islands, which are both uninhabited.
Yes, because they're on the wrong side of the international dateline. Yeah.
We got uninhabited islands out there, man.
We do.
It's pretty amazing. And celebrating the first baby of the New Year has been a symbol of the holiday since around 600 BC.
Wow.
Starting in ancient Greece when an infant was paraded around in a basket in celebration of the Dionysus.
Dionysus. Yes.
God of fertility. Interesting.
His handiwork. Here it is.
And typically a million people crowd into Times Square to watch the ball drop.
Wow.
I wonder if that will change at all with some of these, you know, changes going on.
That's a lot of people, man.
That is a lot of people.
Man.
At the historic Hershey Press Building in Pennsylvania, a 300-pound, 7-foot-tall Hershey Kiss is raised 3 stories and dropped.
I love that so much.
The New Year's Eve pickle drop is also something big. That started in 99 with a handful of Mount Olive pickle employees and now draws several thousand to North Carolina town every year. let's see. Nashville gets in on the New Year's fun by dropping a musical note in Music City.
Nice.
That's a good one. The famous Folly Beach flip-flop drop brings a little sparkle flip-flop to the drop. Beach town with a giant pair of glittery flip-flops dropping
in. Oh, goodness.
That's pretty good.
That's just silly.
Fun.
Yep.
In Miami, there's an orange that they raise every year and drop. That's a good one, too. And I believe there's some here in Wisconsin. I believe that there's some.
There's one. There's a famous, or they don't do it every year, but every now and then they had a thing. One of the TV stations in Minneapolis would do the quote unquote watermelon drop, where they just basically threw it off a building. They just literally threw it off the building.
I mean, we do have the giant pumpkin drop here.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a little earlier in the year.
It's a little earlier, but I don't know.
I feel like we should have a New Year's tradition. We should have some. We drop a giant cheese curd. Would you drop the other one? Like, here in Rapids, we could drop a cranberry.
We could. Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah.
Let's do that.
For next year.
And we haven't even talked about the food. New Year's Eve food, man. Eating black-eyed peas is a Southern tradition that's said to bring economic prosperity in the coming year.
Okay.
A lot of our Southern listeners are going to be doing that.
I think they just had a lot of leftover black-eyed peas they need to get rid of, what it is.
That wouldn't be understandable.
What are we going to do with all these peas? I don't know.
A big one, a lot of people will go for round foods, like donuts or bagels. Going into the New Year's meal, the shape symbolizes that the year has come full circle.
Okay, that makes sense.
Some burgers would count.
Yes. Nicely done, Melissa. Yeah. And a lot
burger on a bagel. It would be even better.
Ooh.
That's my burger.
James's thing.
Yes. That's James' thing, man.
You know what? You got it all. There you go. Full circle.
Literally.
Time for the mic drop now.
Okay. We'll be back with more show. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great one. Fantastic work with the bumpers, by the way.
Oh, thank
nice
you.
Nice work. Nice Appreciate work it. With this. We're going to get into a fun one right here about the oddest Guinness World Records of 2024. Real quick, though, Beth mentioned that Bethlehem has a peep fest celebration and lowers a 400-pound lighted peep at 5:30 p.m. as a part of its celebration.
Yes.
Lighted peep.
Lighted peep, the dropping of the peep.
Yes, yeah, that's a great one.
In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, yes.
That's a good one. That is a good one right there.
There is a big cheese drop here in Wisconsin in Plymouth.
Oh, they do have a big cheese.
That's
nice.
The cheese capital of the world, Plymouth, Wisconsin.
How did Plymouth get that?
Right.
I don't know.
But
the Plymouth Arts Center is taking full advantage, and you can't blame them.
That's true. Go for it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
We also have some other New Year's celebrations we'll be touching on in our good stories of the day. Our friends over at McMillan have a great one lined up.
We'll talk about that and plenty more.
Mm-hmm. But as we approach the end of 2024, it is important to look back at all the moments of achievement in the past year. And by that, I mean Guinness World Records.
the only achievements that matter.
For the third year in a row, we have scored the UPI Odd News headlines to bring you the 10 oddest Guinness World Records. We've been doing this for a little while here.
Yep.
Smallest washing machine. shows up at the list.
Oh, jeez.
Sebin Saji of India broke the Guinness World Record for the smallest washing machine when his minute appliance was officially measured at minute, 1.28 inches by 1.32 inches.
Wow.
It is smaller than one of those digital pets, those Tamagotchis.
Yes.
Yeah. What are you washing it?
Yeah.
Nothing, apparently.
In order to qualify for the record, he had to demonstrate that his washing machine was fully functional and could run a full cycle.
Wow.
Yeah, couldn't wash anything, but it worked.
Yeah. Paramecium.
The hat of a
napkin for an ant.
Yeah, that's about it. I was going to say the hat for a doll.
But yeah, right.
Largest building in the shape of a chicken. The Camp Houston Highland Resort, located in Negros, Ockendale, earned a world record when it unveiled its new rooster-shaped building, which stands at 114 feet tall, 7 inches.
That's a large chicken.
I am going to
take a picture of that.
Show this picture.
It is. Oh, my goodness.
You know, in Brazil, the famous statue that they have?
The Jesus? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you could see it from anywhere in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's what this is. Like, you could see it from anywhere.
Chicken from anywhere.
Just this giant chicken. Like, and if you you wake up in the morning and you forgot, like, this thing is there and you just happen to see this, that's freaky.
That is freaky.
Longest paddling journey by pumpkin boat. We definitely covered this
pumpkin
one.
Boat.
We did. I remember that one. Yes.
Oregon man Gary Christensen hollowed out a pumpkin. He dubbed Punky Loafster.
Oh, wow.
And took a 45.67-mile journey down the Columbian River to break his record. This record.
Wow.
Kristen, who faced strong winds and unstable waters during his journey, printed the words, "It's real," on the side of the pumpkin to answer the most obvious question that might be asked by onlookers.
Real pumpkin. Real pumpkin, yep.
I would do that. I would definitely do that. I'd do it with a life vest. But
yeah, make sure you're well protected there.
Fastest 10 meters on a skateboard by a cat.
By a cat.
Bao Zi, the American short hair cat, belonged to Chinese man Li Jintao, who showed off his shredding skills by skateboarding 10 meters, 32.8 feet, in 12.85 seconds.
Nice.
Wow.
Now, Li is actually a professional dog trainer.
Every little what?
It's a wild little side story there.
But I decided to train a cat to skateboard. You know, why not? That's what you do.
The cat had promising, attributes. It just, you couldn't pass it up.
I actually do know a cat that skateboards. His name is Pete the Cat. Series of books.
That's right. Yeah.
I love seeing animals on skateboards. Like, dogs, cats, birds. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter.
They're awesome.
Never gets old.
No.
I had a chinchilla that I wanted to put on a skateboard, and it never worked. I could never get it on there. This is before cell phones, where you could take a picture easily and all that and everything. But yeah, I tried. I'm with you, Melissa. Yeah,
I wasted so many Polaroids.
So many. Most rice grains eaten in 1 minute using chopsticks.
Ooh.
A Bangladesh woman, Samji Khan, said her love for Korean culture and ramen noodle dishes inspired her to go for the world record.
Very cool. One at a time?
Wait. Rice, but...
With chopsticks.
With chopsticks.
And it's...
But she's most a lover of ramen noodles.
Yeah.
He's just reading the thing.
I love that so many of these odd stories have oddities in them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's fantastic. It makes perfect sense.
Break this rice rule because I love ramen. Wait a minute. Okay.
Also, how did they count? Those rice grains.
Yeah, well, I guess they have their ways, I guess.
I don't want that
to
job.
To count what was left in the bowl? Each individual grain of rice?
Yeah.
That would actually be one way to do it. If you put 200 grains in there and she didn't get them all, you would know.
That's
an interesting way to do it.
Yeah.
I talk a lot about wanting to break a Guinness World Record. This is one I would never do. Highest car bungee jump.
Yeah.
Was anybody in the car?
Laurent Lasco was. Now, Laurent is a professional stuntman car driver. And he sat in the Nissan e-powered vehicle, which is dropped from a crane at a height of 213 feet and 3 inches.
Wow.
The car bounced up and down and everything.
Man. Yes, it did. Wow. Brave man.
You got to hope that the tether is real strong.
Yes.
Here's one that I would love to break. Most gaming consoles connected to a single TV. Saudi Arabian gamer Ibran LSR said he needed to employ the use of more than 30 RCA switchers and more than 12 HDMI switchers to hook up 444 video game consoles to his TV.
Wow. Now, how do you decide what to play? I mean, that's just too many choices there, you know?
Yeah, I guarantee you he has moments where he's like, oh, there's nothing on. There's nothing to watch. Yeah. There's nothing to play.
I've got 400 consoles here, but it's, I don't know what to do.
How do they all fit in the room?
Well, he's got it. There's a picture there. Yeah. And he's got it. He's got actually a pretty nice setup. You know, a nice big TV. He's got counter space for basically all of them. That's really cool.
And a lot of doubled up consoles.
Yeah, that's true. Xboxes, little stacking. Too, yeah.
But it also reminds you, man, there are a lot of gaming consoles.
Yeah, throughout the ages. Yeah.
I did not realize there were that many.
My Swan, you know, the Swan, yeah, I forgot.
Nice. And most items identified by a parrot in 3 minutes. Apollo, a 4-year-old African gray parrot belonging to Florida resident Dalton and Victoria Mason, was able to identify 12 objects presented to him by name in 3 minutes.
Not bad.
It's a smart parrot.
That's a smart parrot, yeah.
That's a good one right there. And how about widest wig? Helen Williams, who previously earned the Guinness World Record for the longest handmade wig at 1,152 feet and 5 inches.
Whoa!
Earned her second title by assembling a wig measuring 11 feet, 11 inches, and 1 inch wider than a Mini Cooper car is long.
Oh my goodness.
And she's a professional wig maker.
Yes. Yes. How do you get through doors?
Yeah. Sideways.
You cannot.
Nice.
You got to start like a mile off, though.
The question is, how do you handle the weight of that?
I know. That's got to be heavy, right?
Man. Oh, I love that she did it in red, too.
Yes. And finally, I think this one's a good one. Fastest motorized wheelbarrow. I like the idea of doing, if you go for the record and you don't break it, you still got a motorized wheelbarrow.
You do.
Like, you still got that.
Very
you
know? Useful. Very useful.
British mechanic Dylan Phillips hit the tarmac during Straightliner Speed Week 2024 in Yorkshire and took his custom-built vehicle, a motorized wheelbarrow, up to the top speed of 52 miles an hour.
That's 52? Fast in a wheelbarrow.
Wow, that's fast.
Please don't crash. Please don't crash.
That would be scary.
Phillips said getting the wheelbarrow up to speed is scary, but the real issue is slowing down.
Yeah, no kidding. Are there brakes on the wheelbarrow?
I didn't invent brakes.
I love the idea that he's like, I'm breaking this record, and I was terrified the entire time. I was just freaking out.
That's a good note. You can find all of these at upi.com, upi.com. We'll be back to wrap up the year coming up on The Morning Show at WFH. You say yes, I say no. You say stop, and I say go, go, go. New outro song. Hope you all are having a good New Year's Eve out there. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We are wrapping up the show, wrapping up the year, Melissa, Seth, and I.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you had a great one. Thank you so much for joining us. Get into our programming here in right now, and we'll get into some good stories of the day. We, of course, will not be here tomorrow. No live shows tomorrow, but we will be here in spirit and in content.
Yes, we will.
We've got a great lineup for you for January 1st, some alternate programming. Things kick off I should mention the Sunrise Show. I do have a recorded show for you. So I took some requests, and we've got some fun that we'll kick off the new year with.
Very cool. Very nice.
A big shout out to our friends from the Ground Up Coffee Shop for sponsoring that hour. Mm-hmm. That'll be over at 105.5 WIRI. Join them from 7 to 8 for that. Then at 8 a.m., come right back over here and check out The Kitchen's Open, an hour of the best of The Kitchen's Open.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. It's a wonderful special put together that I really do look forward to. At 9 a.m., our Christmas Director's Cut.
That's right.
If you had missed that, we will have that for you, where Melissa joined Seth and I as our tradition every year. And, we had a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Who your favorite Santa? Who's your favorite Santa? We got into
and
that.
And why?
Yes.
I tell you what, Melissa told us her not favorite Santa. She was very emphatic about that.
I did.
So, yeah.
I did, and I got sent I don't even know what you would call it. It was an entire movie as a GIF.
Wow.
By my brother.
Whoa.
Starring Kurt Russell.
That's hilarious.
It was. And I had to go back and watch it multiple times because I was like, dude, is this the whole movie? He's like, yeah, it's the whole movie.
Wow. I didn't even know that was possible.
What? I didn't know you could
do that. That is
But also, I think it was the best way to watch said movie from 1982.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. At 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, we'll have a community stories for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to replay the episode from VFW Post Commander Sean Plant.
Yes.
Oh, good one.
Very good one.
Oh,
yes. Good one.
That's great. That'll be at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And then at 5 o'clock, we'll wrap up our content for you with Seth Face the Music.
That's right. A New Year's show that you missed the beginning of because of the hockey game on Sunday. So okay. I'll replay it on New Year's Day.
Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back on Thursday, everybody. We'll be having some fun on Thursday. Looking forward to a new year and some new fun. We'll have some, we got a lot of new ideas and different things that we're looking and cooking up for you in 2025.
Yeah.
Be on the lookout for that. Certainly always keep in mind that we love your feedback. If you've got ideas, if you've got things that you'd like to 100%. See us be doing, go ahead and hit us up, direct message us on our Facebook pages, stop by and talk to us, anything above.
FHR, IRI, doesn't matter which one, let us know. Yeah.
This is
join us in the new year where I'm going to be nice to Seth.
Yes, that's
we'll see how long that lasts. I'm taking bets. I got a board up on that one.
I'm going to have a smile on my face the whole time. It's going to be so fun.
A little bit later today at 3:10, you've got Wisconsin women's basketball as they host Minnesota.
A rivalry game.
And with that, we will not have a midday magazine today.
That's right.
And, of course, none tomorrow. So we'll be back on Thursday with that for you, everybody. Keep that in mind. And on Thursday, Wisconsin men's hockey at Michigan State at 5 o'clock. Keep that in mind as well. Be good. And, of course, we have some other good stories around our area I wanted to touch on. We have this cool event happening over at McMillan Library. Catherine was in yesterday talking about this. Celebrate New Year's. Noon Year's Eve party at the library. They'll have party Year's favors. Party.
I love it.
Balloons, a photo booth, refreshments. This is a complete family fun, and it's an opportunity for the kids to celebrate New Year's as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was like, you know, for those folks that like really don't want to stay up that late, you know, we heard from a few today, right? This is perfect. Celebrate early. Get it out of the way.
Check that out, everybody. That is going to be a really good one. Appreciate that. McMillan also, just as a note, has their Cool Colors Adult Coloring Club coming up Thursday, January 2nd from 10 to 11 over at their meeting room. Go check that out as well, everyone. That'll be fun. I love that they're doing that. That's going to be good. And they have a blood drive coming up.
Yes, they do on Thursday as well, yes.
Yes, Thursday from 10 to 3 at their all-purpose room. All you heroes out there that are able to donate, we greatly appreciate you doing so.
Great way to start the year, too, giving some blood.
And if you're looking for something fun to look forward to in January, Seth, we've got something from our friends at Savor the Arts.
We do. At the end of January, in fact, the last day, January 31st, that's a Friday, you can come and see Jeff Allen. Are We There Yet? It's a comedy show starting at 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center in Wisconsin Rapids. Allen's hilarious comedy drives home the humor in everyday family life and is a hit with all ages. His inspirational honesty offers a unique glimpse into his crazy world. He's appeared on Dry Bar Comedy, Comedy Central, VH1, America's Got Talent, just to name a few. Of course, get your tickets right now. Go to savorthearts.com 24/7. And of course, if you would like a little bit of assistance with them, you can contact their office at 424-2787, Monday through Thursday, 10 to 2:30. You can also stop in person during those same hours at 1040 8th Street South, Suite 101 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Great stuff going on in our area. It's been a great year. We're just going to go ahead and get in as many good stories of 2024 as we can.
All right.
As we're wrapping up here. A man was paralyzed as a teen competed his first marathon this year.
Wow. Ooh. That's so cool.
Mason Brandstrother's life changed when he was paralyzed in a skiing accident at 17 years old, but that didn't stop him, and at 20 completed his first marathon in Duluth, Minnesota.
Nice.
Grandma's Marathon. I know it well.
Yeah.
Theater hires people with disabilities and highlights their talents. The Prospector Theater in Connecticut hired people with disabilities for a variety of roles, from serving popcorn to ushering in tickets. And the theater says they are going to continue to do this more and more because of the spark it has brought to their other employees along with their customers.
Totally think that's awesome. Man, that is so cool.
We saw a lot of people during the election giving rides to people. There was a lot of that.
Yep.
We had our first black astronaut candidate make it to space after more than 60 years. Shout out to Ed Dwight, who was selected by President John F. Kennedy to enter Air Force program training back in 61.
Wow.
He was denied, but was eventually able to do so.
That's very cool.
The women's athletics and the rise
just in
of
general,
that.
Yeah.
There's so many ones and so many people, so many great food charities out there too. That were a lot of the big stories going on.
Yep.
And of course, all of you. And we appreciate all of you. Appreciate our advertisers. Appreciate this team. It's been a great 2024. Let's make it a great 2025.
Yep. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.